Blind Cool Tech, September 11, 2008.
Blind Cool Tech.
Fun. I wanted to play with the podcast stuff, okay?
Technology.
The world is
anybody there.
And blindness.
Oh, God. Who put that wall there?
Can all come together.
Hey, y'all. How you doing? I'm Larry Skutkan. I'll be chatting with you while I walk to work this beautiful, cool morning. If you're new to this podcast, I am a blind professional using walking with my dog guide, Jake, here. Hey, Jake, introduce yourself. We have about a 2-mile walk. We're in Louisville, Kentucky, and I used to do this quite a bit, just chat with you about a subject or two, and I keep making excuses not to do it. I let the subscription line lapse, and I need to revamp the website to get better feedback and let people comment on individual podcasts and so forth. And I just make one excuse after another and end up just not doing it. So with those caveats aside, I actually have another topic I want to talk with you about, although we could spend some time on that stuff too. Good boy, that lady. I'm gonna be taking a left. Okay? Good boy. What I would like to speak with you today about is accessibility from some of the bigger companies and what kind of efforts have been put into it. I feel like I've been on a roller coaster ride here the last couple of weeks. You know, as you probably know, Google came out with a web browser last week called Chrome. And I had I didn't expect it to be accessible, but I was thinking, wow, you know, as forward a thinking company as Google is, they probably, and they may have, I don't actually know, but, you know, I was thinking maybe they designed their rendering engine to be, oh, how would you say it, agnostic to the output type. You know, thinking ahead maybe to, non-visual displays non-visual presentations for people other than blind people that, you know, may have their eyes occupied in one way or another. But it really got me to thinking, because I know there's been a lot of work done and with standards and so forth. In fact, I know Yanina is very big into working on the W3C or the WC access board. I probably don't have the name of that right. So I know there's work going on, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, I was, you know, nevertheless, a little disappointed. And again, I don't know that they don't have 20 people working for them, you know, designing accessibility into this. This is going to be an open source browser, so theoretically, somebody like me or you could add accessibility components into it if they're not already accounted for. But I guess the point is, I was really hoping that there had been some different groundwork laid so that you're not doing the proverbial bolt-on at the end kind of thing. And I keep emphasizing, I don't know that there hadn't. You know, Google's a smart company. I suspect they have, and it's, you know, it may be in there and just not hooked up yet. But back to the roller coaster. So, you know, I was, I wasn't exactly gloomy or anything, but so, you know, Google's a pretty powerful force in today's society, and I love the concept of Google Docs and doing the mail online with Google Mail. It just really doesn't work that great with screen, well, with current screen reader technology. And I think ultimately somebody is going to have to, and we've talked about this at work, in fact, somebody's going to have to write a screen reader specifically for the browser that, you know, in this, I think we can all see that we're quickly coming to this day when most of the applications and most of the work we'll be doing is online. In fact, you know, we've noticed for years that when you're not connected, that PC is really not near as much fun. I think that, of course, partially is to do with the social psyche of the human species, perhaps. Anyway, though, back to the roller coaster. So, I was feeling, you know, is this always going to be the way we are? You know, the typical thing we do when any new technology comes out and it's not accessible. You know, like the iPhone, for instance. We didn't really expect it to be, but... Well, so after this downhill ride, this week, Apple announces the release of some new iPods and a new version of iTunes that are accessible. And I don't quite understand this. I'm sure GW worked very closely with Apple, and we all appreciate that, but the way I understand it is, well, if you look on the Apple page, it kind of makes a special point of saying works with Windows and WindowEyes, but they're using Microsoft's MSAA, which is Active Accessibility, that should make it work fine with any screen reader. JAWS or even Narrator are the free ones. SA2Go.com or the new Web Access or NVDA. So I don't think that part of it is fair to everyone else, or I guess it's just a little misleading. But anyway, the point is that now iTunes, you know, you can do the functions that were difficult before. I mean, you could get around on iTunes if you use the review cursor, and it just was not a pleasant experience. Good boy, little buddy. Little cumbersome. That's it. Good boy. But the real news that caught me totally off guard, because I sort of expected that Apple would do something with iTunes, but what got me was the new Nano. I believe there's a 8 and a 16 gigabyte models of it for, what, $150 and $200 respectively. But they now have talking menus. And actually, I take the approach that the Rockbox software takes. If you're not familiar with Rockbox, yeah, check it out at rockbox.org. It is a it's an open source firmware replacement for many MP3 players, including an iPod. That one of its features is that it makes the menus talk, and you can tag your songs. And the way this tagging works is that the program uses the text-to-speech, the default text-to-speech engine and all its settings, and makes tags of the file names, little recordings of this generated speech. So it might say, you know, Bob C. Hi. It might say something like, you know, Bob Seger, Night Moves, in a synthesized voice. And then, and iTunes does all this automatically, apparently. I hadn't tried this yet. Well, then it copies those files when it transfers the music file. So these are real small little tag audio files. And it plays them if, I assume, like with Rockbox, it associates it somehow with the name of the file. So as you arrow through the file names, you can hear, you know, this recording that was produced on your PC. Great, innovative, fantastic idea, and a beautiful example of how a company can put accessibility into a commercial device. Excuse me. Now, I've seen some comments that, well, the time isn't accessible in some of the games. You know what? So what? I've got a clock. You know, I know when... Good boy. That's it. I know in software development, sometimes you can spend 95% of your time on the last, you know, 5% of the project. And I would hate to see, you know, too much time and effort put into these specialized cases when they're really doing not more than just proving a point. You know, maybe I'm a moderate. I'm certainly not a fanatic about accessibility. I firmly believe that the best approach is to educate developers and manufacturers about the benefits, you know, for all people that can potentially use their product. You know, a great example the other day was Aaron Hoffman's demonstration of the Sirius Stiletto 2, I believe it was called, FM receiver. Well, you know, one of the troubles we've always had with electronic devices is knowing where you are in the menus, especially if they wrap around, which I, you know what I mean, if you're pressing down arrow and you get to the bottom, if it just goes to the top of the menu on the next down arrow. But this device actually beeped at you to let you know you were at the bottom of the menu. So, you know, not only is that a great aid to help tell where you are, of course, you still have to do some memorization. You know, you have to read the manual and know that, you know, it might be the third item down that you want on this menu. You know, it gives you the ability to do that, and it also lets you know, it helps confirm that you're in the right menu, so you can actually tell how many items are in a menu by letting it beep at the top and going down until you get to the bottom. And that can give you some verification about where you are in the menu structure. Good boy, little buddy. I don't want to come across as being critical of Google yet. So we're gonna let this person get past us. Morning.
Good morning.
With a cute little doggy. Because we're working with some really converging technologies and some evolving standards. So, you know, nobody, not even Google, really knows where this stuff is going to end up. Google is an innovator. You know, they've showed us that you can make the web look like a desktop application with, you know, some of these Web 2.0 applications like Google Maps, Google Docs, which if you haven't tried that, you know, it's worth the effort to get past all the accessibility, and you know, actually some of it isn't accessibility issues, it's more screen reader behavior. You know, I find one of the biggest problems is that when you're working on a document and you switch away and come back, your screen reader is switched back over to browse mode or whatever you call it, and you're back at the top of the page or something. So there's that. But if you can get past some of those inconveniences, and it's a little, you know, you do have to use some review and clicking. It does, by the way, seem to work a little bit better with the Firefox 3. So if you haven't tried that yet, I didn't realize that people didn't know that both the screen reader manufacturers, and I'm talking about JAWS and WindowEyes, here in the U.S., I'm sure Dolphin has too, and SA2Go work with the screen reader's document object model, and you know, build you a virtual picture of what that web page is that you can navigate through and read and interact with. But they've also done it with the Firefox DOM, the document object model. So they work exactly the same way. Now, of course, you're going to see differences in browser features themselves. Good boy. That's it. All right, we're at Ewing and Frankfurt here. Jake's a good doggy. You brought me right up to the butt to push it, didn't you, little buddy? But there's those inconveniences. Plus, boy, that's it, little buddy. There's the kind of non-standard behavior that you'll get on various web pages. So in other words, when you're in an application, you know that you've got the menu bar up there and context menus. The problem with, you know, using the browser as a platform to run your applications is you also have browser commands along with the commands to control that application in front of you. In fact, that's why Chrome, I don't even know about the other browsers, if they have I guess they call it a full screen mode where the browser kind of gets out of the way. So now you don't have your file edit view menu from the browser on the screen anymore. And you can use commands, you know, hotkeys to control the web page. And if you haven't come on. Good boy. If you haven't played around with this, I do need to give you one tip. And this is just part of what makes it a little more challenging for using these kind of things with screen readers. In order to interact with the page properly, you have to turn off your screen reader's browse feature. In other words, you don't want to look at the virtual buffer. You want to interact with the page on the screen. So, in Google Mail, for instance, if you do that, you can just press C on the web page, and bam, it opens up. You're ready to compose a new message. Your cursor's in the edit field for the to, the recipient of the email. And it's very, very convenient. It's just that, you know, most of it doesn't work well with the screen reader when the screen reader is not in its browse mode. So this technology called ARIA is attempting to address that. And there's a great way, if you want to kind of get a little taste, experience of the future, and maybe help direct it if you get interested, check out Google Reader. Now, what Google Reader is, and you see why I'm so concerned about accessibility with Google, because this is a lot of important stuff. You know, Google's got the reputation of being, good boy, deceptively simple and a lot of things going on under the hood. And that's, and I don't mean deceptive in a negative connotation either. I mean, I love, you know, most of the ideas and the way they've implemented this stuff. In fact, I don't know if I've told you about this or not, but we've got a tactile display at work. I will be get back to Google Reader, sorry. That is an array of pens that raises up and down. It's from KGS in Japan. It was very expensive, probably around $14,000. But anyway, we unloaded the screen reader, got onto Google Maps, and got the address, you know, in this neighborhood showing up there, and had this display set where we could actually see these maps. You know, the widths of the roads, the intersections. There was some places that were iffy. You know, maybe some grayed out areas or whatever where the pen definition wasn't good. But the thing is, the thing that was so exciting is that, you know, I or you as a blind person could sit there just with the PC and web browser and use the arrow keys and other keys to zoom in and out of this, to move, you know, the not the scope of it, but to scroll more of the map into view from either direction. And it was enlightening. You know, we've got to come up with some technology like that for an affordable price that people can use in classrooms. You know, this is what learning is about today. And what an eye-opener. You know, I was sighted till I was 21, and I'm familiar with maps, but I'd never, of course, been familiar with electronic maps like that. And it's a whole new dimension. You know, there's no edge of the page. There's no flipping. So, anyway, you know, and talking about accessibility, there's, you know, that's the kind of page where, you know, I don't expect that Google is going to do something to make that map accessible. Or in some ways they have, actually. You know, you can get directions from one point to another in a written out format. And, you know, it's exciting to think about the other kinds of possibilities that people are doing with map data and geospatial data and location-aware tools. In fact, we were looking in the paper, or no, online, last weekend at this Bernheim Forest here, which is, well, I don't even know how to accurately describe what it is, but it's a preserved area of natural woodlands and I think mainly natural Kentucky habitat. Really nice place though, and there's bike trails. Well, they've got I can't remember the name of it now, but it's a sort of a treasure hunt kind of thing where people will hide caches or have a rubber stamp there that you stamp your logbook with or various other things. And they give you clues to it, like with the either the coordinates. Good boy, little buddy. Hold on, just that tricky little spot across the railroad tracks here. This is funny, ever since they redid these tracks, Jake takes them on square. Good boy, little buddy. He used to just kind of angle across them with the direction of the sidewalk. I asked Liz to look, and she said, well, yeah, they made it look like the sidewalk just goes out in the street there, and then you have to take a left. And it's funny, because we're going the other way, and he doesn't do that. But anyway, so back to Google Reader. This Aria, I think if you to get to Google Reader, I believe you can just go to google.com and click on the Reader link at the top of the search page. Or if you don't have it, I think there's a more link and then that'll show it. But if you're running a screen reader, the web page will detect it and it'll say to click here for the Aria enhanced version of the page. And what that'll let you do, again, you have to turn off browse mode on your screen reader. I think with JAWS it's insert Z, WindowEyes shift control A toggles it. You either unload your screen reader or turn off that mode. Sometimes it's better to unload it because if you switch away and come back, you're going to be back into browse mode. But anyway, Google has defined hotkeys to take you from topic to topic. I never did finish describing what Google Reader is. It's a RSS and podcast client that resides on the web instead of on your PC. And, you know, like every other, they call them cloud-based application now, the advantage of it is that, you know, you avoid this thing that I've been running into lately that's driving me crazy, especially as I'm switching between Internet Explorer and Firefox and checking out other browsers. When I subscribe to a link, you know, I don't have them all neatly gathered in one place like I want. But if you subscribe, I said subscribe to a link, subscribe to an RSS feed, I'm sorry. But if you use Google Reader to subscribe to the feeds, they're going to be all there, and no matter what machine you're using, you can take advantage of them. And if, you know, right now, the Braille Plus doesn't have a way to go to Google Reader and, you know, just use those. That's not something we couldn't. You know, we sure could do that. But even now, you can go to Google Reader and export your feed list and then import it into the RSS reader on the Braille Plus and the icon. But anyway, so you and to subscribe to feeds, you really can do it just the same way, you can be in your browser and click on the link and, you know, you'll get an option with the modern browsers. Or you can do it directly from inside Google Reader. But once you run Google Reader and you've got some feeds set up, there's hotkeys to move you from feed to feed and from article to article and several other functions. So I don't remember what they are off the top of my head. We'll say N and L for next, and no, that's not, wouldn't be last. So it's N and P. Let me get across Frankfurt here. So as you go there, you know, I actually, now that I say this, I guess you do have to have your screen reader running. I'm thinking it's participating or communicating with your screen reader because it uses the exact same voice and settings. So maybe eliminating or unloading the screen reader is not an option. You have to just turn web mode off. But try this stuff out. Don't get too frustrated. And, you know, I just bring this to our attention to say that, you know, I doubt that there's many people that have admire the kind of cool things that Google has done, but I seriously hope that they've got more than just one person. Although TV Raman is a genius, but you know, it's going to take more than one person in that kind of environment. And you know, and I'm sure they know this. I just like the rest of the world, wish they could communicate with us a little more, or at least assure us that, you know, we're not just left out in the dark. You know, I never did follow up. I don't know what the resolution was. Yeah, I do, with the CAPTCHA. They did make the CAPTCHA so that you can get an audio version of it. It's very, very difficult to hear, so we can ensure that a machine isn't going to be able to do that for long, but neither can us guys that might have a little bit of hearing loss. And, you know, I don't know what the answer to that is. You know, we've all heard of this WebVism plug-in for Firefox, and I really suspect they're using humans to help them with that. You know, logged in at different places around the world. You know what? I have over-talked what I really intended to cover. I've got to make a stop here. Actually, I've got a lot more to cover, so I hope I'll be talking with you guys a little more often. But please remember, you know, I'm just doing this Blind Cool Tech as for fun. I'm not at it 24 hours a day. I actually have another job. So if I don't answer every individual email, I mean, I try to. But please don't get upset, or, you know, just email me again or something. All right, anyway, you guys have a great day. And it is September 11th. Let's have some, it's a very, very somber day in the history of the United States. And of course, the anniversary of the Twin Towers and the terrorist attack. So please keep a lot of things in your minds and prayers related to that, including, you know, the family and friends, and of course, the future of free society, even. And you know, hopefully everyone can get along and live as brothers on this small place we call Earth. You guys have a great one. Bye.